The title of my sermonette today is Trust in the Trials. And hopefully the point that I'd like to make or the points I want to make here will become clear. Those of us who are out in the workforce, working for an organization, a city, government, a company, or foundation, or any other institution, understand that there are two words that are not often used in the setting, and when they are, it can be terrifying and it can be demeaning and set in motion a series of actions and reactions that can never be adequately anticipated or prepared for. Our current president of the United States has actually spoken these words many times in his prior life and many other similar phrases, though I doubt that he understands their impact. And this has nothing to do with politics in any way, and frankly, it has nothing to do with politics of any party. Frankly, they're not effective in any way. You may have guessed by now that the words that I'm referring to are, you're fired. Now, truly, the same outcome and emotion that we feel can occur without these words being spoken. And quite frankly, euphemisms are often injected instead. And for some reason, a baseball analogy is often seems to be a favorite of many people. For example, the team is going in a new direction, and you're not part of that plan. Or we're making some changes, and we no longer will need this position. We no longer need you in that position. And the you is the operative word. Whatever is spoken, when one leaves that office, one knows full well they are now or will soon be out of a job that they were in. Now, in my very short tenure of offering sermonettes, I've found that I prefer to suggest a potential pathway forward for you to consider that's based upon our faith in our Creator and also for which I have some experience. While I will not get into specifics of my own situation, I will share that based on the internal politics of the entity I was the head of, I could see storm clouds gathering months before the clarity that was offered. And I suppose that an axe can somehow and sometimes supply some form of clarity. I will not say that the delay that I felt over the course of months was somehow more humane, but in many ways it was akin to torture. So what did I learn over the course of a 38-year career that could help me through this? This was a first for me, frankly. No surprise that I tried to fix whatever was apparently broken. It became clear after a bit of time that this was not the desired outcome for those who had the playbook. Again, coming back to a sports analogy, acceptance of their plan, of their play, was the preferred outcome. After the initial shock, I then did what for me was the only rational reaction. I did the very best job I could to close out my work professionally and with precision, and I received compliments for doing so. But compliments I didn't need. Hope was what I needed. A new job was what I needed. And the reality is, and I can speak with some experience and authority on the subject, that at this juncture, a person can be very vulnerable and will, of course, experience a full range of emotions. Not all of them will be helpful. One can be embarrassed, and of course, one will begin to worry about how they will support their family, if that is their situation, or pay their rent or mortgage or car notes. The notion of some unplanned free time is quite far from the horizon in our thinking, though many others may remind you, now it's time to relax, get some rest, read a book, write a book, paint a room or 10 rooms for that matter. Relaxing is also something that does not seem to be the appropriate action in the situation. Frankly, what we really want to do is pounce. We want to get out there and cause something good to happen. Well, whatever we perceive good in that moment to be, and again, our time frame is so fleeting. The accurate perspective is that by and large, we really cannot rush those around us, the world around us, to now move to accommodate what is our panic and our fear, and truly, they won't. They cannot. we make contacts and try to explain judiciously what has occurred from our perspective. And we are nervous that others may not see this as we do, or they may not describe it as we do. I will not make this a how-to guide. It's not a job coaching session, and it's also not an explanation of the dynamics of internal and external politics. It's there for sure in any organization, but it's also not my point. My point from cold, hard experience is how to cope with the fear and the embarrassment, the loss, and the pain that goes along with that. So let's look together to a person prominent in our beliefs who suffered loss and frustrations and see what he might have suggested as, say, our own personal coach in this kind of a situation. We look at how David relied on God the Father to help him see the situation clearly and in whom to put his trust. It was not the friendly headhunter, though I guess back in the day that might have had a different meaning. So reading from the New King James Version, turn with me to Psalm 31. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. So again, New King James, Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net for which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now those words have incredible meaning to me. In these verses, David is giving us, and frankly, I can hear the music from one of our hymns as well, his key to coping with the stress. And I assume it was the stress from battles and some of the political intrigues that he was facing. He addressed the shame and the embarrassment, and he asks his Creator, as we would ask our fathers, to listen and to help. He knows that he needs strength that he does not have at that moment to help him. He needs a safe place to be while he tries to move forward. Clearly, David understands that he is enmeshed in a political net or a trap, not unlike our Savior, who in his last moments, as illustrated so clearly by Luke in chapter 23, and you don't need to turn here now, but you can go back to that later on, but in verse 46, moved beyond mortal uncertainties and put his trust and his life in his Father's hands, his Creator and ours. He committed his spirit, as David was referring to. Now, I wish I could assure you that I modeled David's prayer when I was in my situation. The fact is that I alternated between cold sweat night terrors and an anxious acceptance of the reality of what had happened. It had happened, and I could not control it, nor do anything to prevent it. I was indeed worried that I would not be able to find another interesting job and that Shelley and I would have difficulty feeding the kids and paying for our home without perhaps having to move away. I knew that I had to pray, and I had to do it in a new way. I spoke of this last year at the feast, and it was about a challenge that I've faced that I did not have to give God an out to respond. I needed to ask God to guide me and for me to trust in him. And I needed to just let go and rely on God's time frame for an answer, one way or the other. In light of this, turn with me to Psalm 37. In verses 5 through 8, and again, I'm relying on David here to help me make my points today. I'm very appreciative for these scriptures. So again, Psalm 37, verses 5 through 8. Commit your way to the Lord. trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I really appreciate that last sentence in the verse. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I cannot tell you how many times someone said that to me, certainly my mom and dad in the past. Don't worry. If you can't control something, don't worry about it. People who are a lot sharper than I am have told me this a time or two, specifically in relation to the loss of my job. What I learned over time, after many, many prayers, is that I am not a job title, though I can say that I allowed myself to fall into this rather worldly trap. It can be hard to be calm, to not lose hope and trust in God that it will be sorted. I wanted it in my time frame, and at times was willing to rush it and perhaps make a serious misstep. We still have free will and choice, and we can choose to behave in a way that God does not intend for us. I know this, and I have been guilty of it, but one can learn and take to heart what our Creator is telling us through the words of our Bible and through the prophets. We can also maintain the right attitude through prayer, and more prayer if we are especially challenged. We can learn to trust in the Lord our God with all of our heart, not on our own understanding and not on our own time frame. My final scripture brings us to Romans 5 in verses 3 to 5. Again, Romans 5. Verses 3 to 5, but I'm going to break in at verse 1 just for a little context. And I really love the heading of this section. It's Faith Triumphs in Trouble. And I think it's uniquely appropriate to the points I'm making here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And I would add, in my own words, experience. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. I understand now how difficult this kind of situation can be, and when we pray for one another during such trials, I feel I can be more empathetic than perhaps I had been in the past because of my own trials. I am not proud that it took my own crisis for me to grow spiritually and personally. I still have much further to go on this pathway. But with the Bible in my hands, I know where to begin to look for the right pathway.